With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just want y'all to know that. And tonight, let's enjoy life. Pitbull, Naya, Neo, that's right.
Winning run at first. Young Luis Patino delivers, and there's a drive left field, high and deep, back by the wall, gone! Red Sox win it! Christian Vasquez! A two-run homer, can you believe it? 6-4 Boston in 13 innings, and Vasquez getting mobbed, fires his helmet in the air as he approaches home plate and is being mobbed.
Somebody sexy, tell him hey!
Is there any more exciting a play in sports than the walk-off? I know you love baseball, Chris Curtis.
Oh, my God.
Anything more exciting than the walk-off?
Touch them all, Christian.
I don't know. Wiggy has the Sox jersey on this morning.
That's right.
And he has spent, since we arrived here, we are at the Capitol Grill, by the way. It's Marathon Monday. And we're right here on Boylston Street, and they are working feverishly to get everything ready here for the runners, but
a little rain just came through.
Yeah, I think we're fine.
Now we're fine. But
Curtis is the weather guy. Curtis has called for a beautiful day to run.
Day for baseball, Greg. It's a great day for running. And Bill Belichick loves this show. It is. It's amazing. It's like a different guy.
What
he brings up Brady
about?
Now, totally unprovoked.
He told Greg, give him his number.
I know. Man, you got to do that. Follow through.
I mean, not surprisingly, he's not an emoji guy.
That's all right.
But that guy this morning is a guy I want to have a beer with.
What,
like
Bill?
He had a pep in his step.
Oh, wow.
Massive baseball guy. Big marathon guy.
I would not say he has the marathon athlete build.
I know. No, I'm too big to run the marathon.
I didn't like that shot at Wiggy, though. That's all right.
We take what we can get.
But Wiggy has he has zero allegiance to the Patriots. He's all in on the Sox.
I'm out on the Pats, man.
Is that a Yaz jersey?
That is a Yaz jersey. Good
Let's
job, Gregory.
Go Red Sox.
Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox. Maybe I'll get another World Series ring. Yeah. So I'm out on the Pats. I need a signature win for them to bring me back in. I told you, I feel like Al Pacino in The Godfather. I need something to bring me back in.
Yeah.
But Greg, how wrong were you about this Red Sox team? My God,
I was wrong. You know what? I was talking to Lou about this briefly at the game yesterday. He was right because I had said I didn't want to be dragged. Essentially, what Wiggy's talking about. I didn't want to be dragged in by the one-off, play-in game or whatever, and then have my hopes dashed. That has not occurred. This Red Sox team has, and Courtney called it sparkle or whatever.
There's a sparkle to it.
Whatever she called
it.
There is, I think, something. There is something special about these guys, and I think your only question today, Ken, is which Erod do you get?
Right. I mean, it's a very likable team other than probably Erod right now. It's like the one guy doesn't seem to have any passion. But who knows? Maybe he redeems himself tonight. All you need is two innings, really, right? You get Sale for two, maybe Martin Perez for two, whatever. Just piece it together. But they do need to win tonight. You don't want to go back to the trop because they have McClanahan ready for game five.
Well, that's going to be the biggest thing. And that's why I've been in on this team since day one, Ken. I hope you have the audio.
Yes, I don't, but I believe you.
But the thing that I think you have to do if you're this team
And Cora's got to be making sure he's letting his guys know, keep those bats going. Because if you can keep those bats going, maybe it takes some pressure off a guy like Erod if you can get him, you know, get him in a position where it's a little bit of a lead. And like you said, if you can just get two decent innings out of Erod, you'll be fine. You get Chris Sale, get another couple good innings out of him. You piece it together like you did in 2018. Courtney called it. She said there's something about this team.
Yeah, they have something to – they're trying to prove people wrong, and that's what you want for a team, I think. If everybody's on your side, and I think a lot of people thought that the Rays were just going to blow this thing off, you don't want that. I don't think you want that as a team. You want that chip-on-your-shoulder mentality, and I think an Alex Cora-managed team does great in these scenarios. And Alex Cora looks like he's having fun out there. He's in a high-pressure situation. Right. You look at him in the dugout, and when Pivetta was getting all hot-headed, he's looking. He's like smiling while he's telling him, like, calm down.
It's two different – like you said, one team looks like they're having fun.
Yep.
And then the other team looks like, after last week, they're not having fun no more.
Right.
That was a big takeaway. That's something that I took away from yesterday's game, Patriots game and Red Sox game, is the emotions and how they look. You know, the biggest thing, I remember Parcells used to say this all the time, it's about body language, right? Even if you feel like crap, you got to at least show me that you don't feel like crap. And it's about body language. And when I look at the Red Sox baseball team and the players, you know, there's this energy, there's this, like you said, there's something about it. When you look at the Patriots...
Wait, you don't see that from the Rays, though?
Well, I'm talking about the Patriots.
And right now, Greg's body language is screaming for some prosciutto-wrapped mozzarella.
No, he's on his second iced coffee. The iced coffee here is out of this world. It's so good.
Curtis, if you follow me on Instagram, you will note that the only thing I had was a tiny little bite of fruit this morning.
Yeah, what was that
fruit
thing
bar?
You guys,
was awesome.
The creme.
No, they had something this morning.
What was it? Creme de...
Creme de la creme.
No, yeah. It's...
You know when... You
Whitney's
know...
going to be drinking that creme en glace later on
You know
today,
when they're
the
fraudulent bougie around here. Can I get some of that creme de la creme? Like, what is that? I don't even know. What is creme de la creme?
It's like a little dipping sauce for your fruit.
I want to know if you, because you told us this was shocking, by the way, on Friday or Thursday, whenever it was, that you have never bothered to watch the marathon. It has never been of interest to you to come down here or somewhere along the route and watch. This is a 125-year-old tradition in this region.
Yeah.
Are you excited being here?
I am actually it is pretty cool to, like, be in this spot where you're like we're like right behind the barriers, right? Yeah. So that's cool, because a couple buddies of mine, they're like, oh, you should come down in the marathon, we're going down there day drinking, blah blah blah, right? And I was like, yeah, whatever. But to, like, actually be down here and kind of like be like, maybe it's because I feel like we're VIPs, and I'm making air quotes. We're like in this VIP section where we're right
on. Yeah, they make the turn right there. Yeah. Like, they turn right there from Hereford right on to Boylston.
Oh, so they don't come down Boylston.
No, they're going to come right there and take a turn right there.
And make the left there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They
have a buffet right there where the runners can grab something to eat before they finish.
Well, they have this giant tent in front of us. I don't know what it is, Curtis. It could be a buffet. It is like, you know,
it's
like
not
a potty
a buffet.
Tent.
No, it's not a buffet.
I think it's like medical.
They don't have a buffet on the race.
Well, I don't. It was like a potty tent.
No doggy bags allowed.
It is, though, once it fills into the energy, you're talking about this Red Sox team, the energy with it, you're going to feel energetic when you see all these people. It's a good feeling. Marathon Monday is a...
They'll be hammered tonight beyond belief. Can you imagine amount of alcohol consumed by 7:07 tonight? It is going to be great.
The other thing
is mud on the pregame.
I know Greg got to see this because he left the game early, but he didn't get to experience the thing. Ken, I don't know if you saw this, and you guys saw this after the game. The energy in the ballpark, like people, I think they were playing T-Pain's song, and like people were just dancing. And it was like you said, Courtney, a lot of young fans. Ken's always been kind of beating this drum about young fans, and you saw that energy. I know. Greg, you ultimately didn't get to enjoy those festivities because you boogied early. But it looked like they were having fun, especially after that Vasquez home run.
Well, Ken continues to maintain that this has become a baseball town. So
it is.
I mean, that Texans, the first half of the Patriots-Texans game, my God, that felt like UMass-UConn. That was awful. That was a great comeback. But still, weren't you, of the two games, weren't you by far more interested in the Sox yesterday?
Yeah.
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 And I listened to the Sox the whole time on the Odyssey app. And you're 100% right. Like that Pats game, I was like, man, this team stinks.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Boomer Esiason about this team and whether they stink or not at 8 this morning. Boomer coming up on a Patriots Monday. It's also a Marathon Monday. And we are at the Capitol Grill on Boylston Street. We will be right back.
NFL Sunday, this Sunday before the game.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants and Pub. Trivia is back at the Nines. Visit the Nines every Thursday in the bar for 59-cent bone-in wings and to play trivia for a chance to win 99 gift cards and other great prizes. The 99, always the real deal. On a Patriots Monday, a lot of Red Sox fever today. Greg, you made a joke about Fauci and Red Sox fever. Couldn't catch it, blah, blah, blah. Oh, boy. 5 hours and 14 minutes long yesterday. What a glorious day. And Pavetta, you want to talk about fan favorites. This was Courtney's lead. She's all in. Loves Pavetta. And Cora, pretty gutsy move to pitch him at all. He was supposed to be the starter tonight, but Cora talked about being all in with Nick Pavetta.
We're all in, and they know it. We text all the starters yesterday, and we put spikes on, and they understand what that is. And we might do it differently than other teams, but when you get to the stage, you take it day by day. I mean, and he understands that, and he did an amazing job in Tampa. Today he was amazing. Very, very similar to Nate in Game 3 of the World Series a few years ago. He was locked in, good fastball, good breaking ball, with traffic, with no traffic, very emotional. These people, wow, that was better than Tuesday, to be honest with you. That was fun.
Speaking of Nate, wasn't he supposed to come on the show?
Speaking of Nate, I don't know. Ken, did you follow up on Nate Eovaldi and whether he was going to come on? He said early in the week.
Yeah, we were efforting.
He said early this week, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he said early this week. I thought he said Monday.
No.
Early
this week.
Ken told me before the show he's going to be joining us Christmas Eve. So it'll be a good spot.
Body moving and Nate Eovaldi, Christmas Eve. Now, Greg, Tanner Houck, tough call here. Do you pitch him today? He's really good, obviously. Pitched in game 2, 5 innings. He's a guy you could go to with a lead today, or you could save him for game 5. Would you pitch Houck today?
Well, who else are you going to have available? You don't want to get to a game 5. You
right.
You don't want to go back down there. So,
right.
Yes, to answer your question, yes, I would.
You throw everything you got at him today.
Yeah, with a lead, I would.
Yeah, and Whitlock probably pitches again. The one criticism yesterday, why did he not bring Whitlock in the 8th instead of Robles? I couldn't understand that move, and it was a first guess for me. I mean, obviously, Robles gives up a couple runs and then got sick. I guess he threw up after he left the mound. But they blew the 4-2 lead.
Jeez.
I mean, I would have saved him for the bottom of the order in the 9th, but it works out for Cora, so who can bitch? And the luck rule gets some advantage in the 13th, the 5.05 A8 Curtis, the big rule, and just 2 bases, the ground rule double for the hit by Kiermaier.
Doesn't that now, like, this has been a good story, but when those calls start going your way, don't you start believing this team may actually go to the World Series? Like, that was, I know Lou was sort of tweeting tongue-in-cheek when he said that the Sox would have won by 1 instead of 2 if they had allowed that run to score. But that was such a huge play to go in the Sox favor. I feel like that, I don't know, they might make it the World Series.
7:07, your first pitch tonight at Fenway on the Shaws and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. 6:07 pregame with Brian Barrett. Earlier in the day, yesterday, Patriots back from down 22-9. They win at 25-22. Did the game, Greg, swing on the punt off the back of the own player for no yards? What a debacle that was. What a
complete debacle.
Well, and the fact that he blew through like 3 of his timeouts right on like 4th down calls was stupid.
And he kicked that guy from 56 yards. He couldn't kick an extra point.
I know.
Well, that's because
that's bad for him.
Well, that's because he wasted all his timeouts, and I think he got in a situation where it's like, you know, I got no choice but to do this here.
But, I mean, all that considered, they still needed a roughing the passer call to go down the field. I mean, this was not a great performance by the Patriots. It was an impressive win, but the team is not very good.
Luckily, those guys on Houston have no hands. They literally played the game without hands because there should have been about 3 or 4 interceptions in that game that they legit dropped. And the roughing the passer one, you know, was an interception. But earlier than that, the linebacker had a chance on a ball.
Bills win it on Sunday Night Football. They are 4-1. Patriots in second place in the division at 2-3. Dallas right now a 3-point favorite. I would have thought it would have been higher than that, Greg, but only 3. 3.5 in some spots coming up at 4:25 on Sunday.
And if the woes of Damian Harris continue, Was it a mistake to deal Sony Michel?
Yes, it was.
I don't know. I got it. You know, if we do the gone in 60 seconds, 60 second five takeaways.
Yes, is that a part of that?
Yeah, it might be a part of that.
All right, maybe we should do those coming up next. Yeah.
That's what's trending now. Of course, the marathon getting underway around 8:30 for the pro runners. And, Greg, you'll be there to cheer them on at the finish line today.
That is correct, yes.
Greg, let me ask this question, because I see a bunch of people walking around here like they look like marathon runners. Why are they here?
There are hardos who show up here to run in their running gear so people think they're marathoners.
Well,
it happens every year, yes.
He's seeing a lot of jackets.
I'm seeing like people with like, I saw one guy, he had like the kinetic tape on his leg.
Oh.
Like he looked like a marathon runner. He had the running sneakers
on.
He's
probably planning on cheating. He's going to jump in right here at the finish line and Rosie Ruiz.
I didn't know if they had a check in here and then they went to the stop.
No, they do. There are lots of runners leave from here in buses, and they're bused out to Hopkinton, and then they start from out there.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's probably what you're saying. And I would like to say thank you to, we have a Greg Hill Foundation team of runners who all raised, I think, $7,500 to get a bib. So I want to thank. And by the way, that's not only our foundation. That is one of the great things about this event is that thousands upon thousands of dollars are raised for all kinds of charities all over New England by those who are running. So congratulations and thanks to all those people. Go get it.
And is that Dale stretching in the corner? What's going on there?
Dale here.
Put some pants on, Dale.
Terrible.
We
got
to take a break. That guy, I want to kiss your eyes. I want to drink that smile. I want to feel like Courtney, it was electric, according to Christian Vasquez.
Like this song.
Electric at Fenway last night. And Ken, you're right. It'll be electric there tonight. All day marathon celebrations, and then the Red Sox can close it out and advance to the ALCS with a win this evening.
Think about the change of the franchise fortunes, Greg. The win Tuesday, the atmosphere at Fenway, the win over the Yankees, then last night, and tonight it might top them all if they get an early lead. And have this team, like, it's just a celebration for 3 hours. The whole team, the mood of everything, off-season ticket sales, everything. Huge for the Red Sox.
And for Chaim Bloom, he must be just looking around, looking at all you suckers that doubted him. Greg Hill, eat crow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I guess.
I saw Greg feeding him grapes at the Capitol Grill this morning.
I guess he did exactly what he needed to do at the trade deadline, and I should have been quiet at that time and had full trust in Chaim Bloom.
Well, I don't think he did exactly what he needed to do, because I still think if you went out and got yourself another starting pitcher, you would have been able to sweep this series.
If Chaim had signed Cam Newton, you'd love him.
No, if he would have signed Max Scherzer, I would have really loved him.
Well, I mean, I was, I was a little bit nervous last night when you see Schwarbs at first base.
Schwarbs.
But Ken, I think your lead this morning was you got to sign this guy to a long-term deal here. He is exactly the kind of athlete that this city loves.
Oh, there's no doubt. He's already a fan favorite, but he could be up there with, like El Guapo and some of the guys that have like resonated that maybe aren't. And
El Guapo?
Well, he was a star. People loved
El Guapo. Better than El Guapo.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But people loved El Guapo. They
like
love
a carnival act.
Greg loves Schwarbs. He's got a Schwarbs bomb logo already.
Right.
Yeah, I do.
Rich Garcia's had like a 5 ERA.
But I love that he doesn't take himself too seriously. After he made that toss correctly the second time, he's right out there celebrating and loving it. I mean, I love that. I love that kind of guy.
I'm all in on the Schwarb bombs.
That's what baseball needs, by the way, right, is they need personalities. They need guys like that.
If you do re-sign him, then...
No, I'm sorry, Wiggy. Baseball needs the personalities to stay longer at the games. That's what they need.
He was. He made it through 6. Normally, he only gets through 4, so...
I'm mad you didn't make it to Sweet Caroline.
I had a show to prepare for.
Oh, he never makes it to Sweet Caroline.
I know.
I was expecting that was going to be a win. I wanted to get myself out of there because of jinx potential. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be responsible for that not going the way it should.
You got
to
give him credit. Like I said, normally he only makes it to 4, but he made it to 6. So,
but we knock Sweet Caroline so much. I'm all for Sweet Caroline. You guys want it to change?
That song sucks.
But imagine what it was like last night with that crowd.
Yeah,
no,
they
but they
were
had
playing...
just blown the lead when they played it last
right
night.
But it doesn't matter.
And
that
they were
crowd
playing
was
T-Pain is what they were playing
after.
Well, that's when you saw the crowd. No one wants to hear Sweet Caroline.
Oh please.
Do you think those young
T-Pain
kids
T-Pain is Sam Kennedy's walk-up song.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, Red Sox get a win. They can advance with a win tonight. Patriots eke out a win against the against the Texans. And I think we got to get to Wiggy's top five takeaways in 60 seconds.
Number five.
All right. Well, I hope the Stephon Gilmore trade doesn't come back to bite you in the anus. Because if you looked at the receivers that yesterday, I think it was Moore. He had over 100 yards through three quarters. And that could be something that we as Patriots fans will be looking at going, wait a second. We could have used Gilmore to make this defense, you know, a legit top five defense.
Number four.
Smartest move in the offseason by Bill Belichick, Matthew Judon, again. Mm. I mean, this dude is, talk about legit, 5.5 sacks through the first five games. I think the only other two Patriots players to do that in history, I saw this yesterday, was Andre Tippett and Chandler Jones. So, man, Matthew Judon, boy.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, and even when he's not getting sacks, he's putting pressure on the quarterback. I think he put pressure on the Davis Mills kid there a couple times that really flushed him out of the pocket.
You want that dog mentality for Mac? Oh, he's got that dog mentality.
He got that pit bull in him.
Number three.
I think we found a new offensive line. Stick with the guys you got, even when everybody else gets healthy. I say stick with this offensive line that you kind of put together yesterday, because they actually did a pretty good job protecting Mac Jones. And that's what I would do. I wouldn't even go back to the other guys, because based off of what I saw yesterday, and Bill talked about it when we interviewed him, hey, we were prepared for this, and those guys did a really good job. And they did a good job in the run game, because you rushed for 126 yards.
Number two.
Now, Greg, you asked about the Sony Michel. This goes kind of ties into the offensive line. The running back cannot hold on to the football issues. Mm-hmm. This potentially could be a problem moving forward, because now what's going to start happening, and you saw it a little bit, the way Stevenson runs the football, he has two hands on that thing like he's holding on to, you know, money he just stole from a bank. And Damian Harris, I think it might be in his head a little bit. It's got to be, because then he started getting chest pains, and then he left the game, came back, they left the game, and it was like, okay, I think he's starting to think about that.
And then he had pains.
You might be right that Sony Michel trade could come back to bite you. Not that Sony Michel was great, but now you don't have any running back depth.
Where would it come back to bite you? You don't have to answer. All right, well, let's get to number one.
Number one,
and this is for all us Pats fans out there, and I know they feel the same way. This Patriots team needs a signature win. They do not have what they beat the Jets and they beat the Texans. Probably two of the, you know, worst teams in the National Football League, aside maybe Jacksonville. You need a signature win. Maybe it's this Sunday with the Dallas Cowboys. But until then, us fans kind of looking at you a little sideways. What do we have here? Is this a playoff team or not?
All right, Wiggy's top five takeaways in 60 seconds from yesterday's Patriots game. And, of course, you're playing a really good Cowboys team on Sunday.
Yes.
But you mentioned earlier, couple things you said earlier stuck out with me. One of which was you thought the defense was really good second half wise, right?
Yeah.
You're happy with the defense in the second half.
The second half. But in the beginning, that's the question I asked Belichick. That was one of the more chestnut colds I took away from him. Because if you look at the Patriots defense, and we talked about this even with McCourty, who comes on Fridays, they kind of struggle in the first possession and allow offenses to come away with points. And when I said that to Bill, he goes, well, it's really our offense that has those biggest issues. But I kind of just look at, you know, the way they're starting games. Like, what's going on there that every team could drive down the field and get points? And yesterday it was like, what was it, 14 plays? They just drove
18,
down the field.
18 plays, 18 10 plays. Minutes.
Man. And drove down and boom, touchdown. That's something that gives a team momentum and then sucks the life out of a team. And especially a crappy team like the Texans, you want to take their life from them right from jump street.
Anything that you saw from Mac yesterday change your opinion of him?
No, but I will give him credit. Yesterday, the one thing I thought, there was a couple opportunities where he was spitting the ball out pretty quickly.
But I still – the only thing I'd like to see from Mac, and you get into the red zone yesterday, he did have to throw to Hunter Henry. Mm-hmm. A little bit on the throw, the guy almost made a play on it. But that's what I want to see more of. You know what? We need points. We got to come away with touchdowns. Too many field goals for me with this team. It's too many – this Dallas Cowboys team, they're going to come in here and put up points. Now, hopefully, if the weather's – you know, crappy like you got against Tampa Bay, then maybe that's a little different.
He escaped some scary scenarios, though. Mm-hmm. I thought he looked great on his feet, like getting out of the pocket when he felt pressure. I thought he looked good there.
Yeah, he made some plays there. But that's going to be – can this team win a shootout? Mm. That's going to be the biggest question, right?
Well, and you still – you look at that game and you still – they have odd – they have some sort of an issue when it comes to the red zone.
Yeah. How can you be happy with that game? You're not happy with that game,
no,
are you?
No, I'm not. I mean, it's on the road, so whatever. It's difficult to win on the road. But that's like a horrendous Texans team.
Right.
I mean, the quarterback had, you know, only seen time in 14 college football games.
There was more energy, Greg, at Bentley on Saturday than there was inside that stadium in Houston. I mean, have you ever watched a professional game that had less noise or atmosphere? Like, it felt like they were playing last year without fans.
Yeah. And Curtis, you're right. If it wasn't for that roughing the passer penalty, you probably lose that game. And now our whole kind of mojo about this team is completely different.
Well, I've been somebody who was giving Mac Jones some time, and was, you know, I said this to you. You were judging him, you know, after week one to be an abysmal failure, and so I was giving him an extended period of time as a rookie. I think he still leads all rookies in the NFL currently when it comes to completion percentage, and I think he's. Curtis, even you acknowledge there's a lot of potential there, but at what point is it okay now that he's five games in? Is now when you expect at least to see him be a different kind of player than he's been?
I expected it from him this week. I expected him to do what Davis Mills did and go out there and throw for over 300 yards and three touchdowns. Right, so when I look at Mac Jones,
but is that him or is that Josh McDaniels still holding him back?
See, I think it's more about him and the way he is in his own head. And Christian and Lou talk to him. And I listen to those interviews that they talk to him. And Christian talks about this all the time. It's almost like this guy needs to sit down with a therapist. Like, he's so wound up so tight. He's so wound up so tight. And when he goes out there, I think that affects him where it's like, I don't want to make a mistake. 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 It's like, hey, listen, Mac, you know what? I'm your therapist. Hey, listen, you're going to make mistakes. Those things are going to happen. Just go out there and play the football game. But when you listen to him talk and you see him, don't you get that feeling from him when you listen to him talk?
You know, when I listen to him talk, I mean, I don't. I mean, he just sounds kind of like robotic, monotone-ish to me. But
he
I think that
young.
He what?
He sounds young.
He does.
That's
he
what,
is,
he sounds
yeah,
young.
He is,
he's
he
young.
Is young. He's young.
So that means cry on the bench.
I think, the offensive line did a great job, and I think it all starts with them. So they were doubted all week, and there was this and that, and all the noise around that, and they came out and they played really hard, and they played together, and. I think I only got hit one time the whole game, so just shout out to those guys. And
yeah, I mean, what's your
Well, I think he's so, like, even when things are not going good, and I don't expect you to have a huge, you know, Kool-Aid smile on your face, but you can tell that he puts a ton of pressure on himself. And I think that you ask the question, is it Josh McDaniels? What is Josh McDaniels doing? Josh McDaniels is calling plays and maybe saying, hey, listen, make sure we make the right decisions. And I give Matt credit that he doesn't force anything, but he doesn't, like, you know, go the whole Bruce Arians way. Hey, what's the saying down there, Curtis? No risk it, no biscuit. I need that a little bit out of you every now and then.
Well, you always have the biscuit, and so does Greg.
As long as they put some good butter on that biscuit.
But, Wiggy, you played here. You played for Bill.
Yep.
When have you ever met a rookie that's been a Patriot where you know their personality? They all are taught to be seen, not heard, even as the quarterback. And if you're a guy like Mac who's trying to earn the trust of your team, you know, you're going to be deferential in post-game press conferences. I think that's just status quo.
Well, no, I don't mean about the post-game press conferences. I'm talking more when he does the interview with Maloney and Foyer, when they're really kind of, you know, asking him, and you kind of, and just like, you know, they ask him about, like, posters he has on his wall, and he's like, and he, like, dude, it's okay, you can have a little, it's like you can have a little emotion and be like, you know, but that's the thing that I look at, and if you don't think he's wound up tight, I don't know what you're watching.
He's definitely wound up tight.
Well, yes, because you can see him doing breathing exercises.
Right.
But again, that's not an issue for me because I'd prefer that than somebody who is throwing the ball away left and right.
Well, I'm not saying, but doesn't there have to be a happy kind of medium where not that you're throwing the ball away, but you're willing to say, you know what? You know what? Hey, I'm the starting quarterback. You know what? I'm the leader of this team. I'm going to drive us down the field, and I'm going to take them shots when they present themselves. Not that you have to be reckless with the football, but you don't want to be so conservative, you know, where it's like, all right, well, what's this offense, right? And I thought yesterday's game was the perfect game for them to go out there, and you would be like, man, they threw the ball all over the place. Mac had a great game. He threw for over 300 yards. And you go and you look at this quarterback and you go and say, oh, okay, I'm seeing a little something from him. But he was just Mac Jones like we've seen through the first 5 weeks of the season.
We are at the Capitol Grill on Boylston Street, the 125th running of the Boston Marathon happening today in October. It's been 2 years. Has it been 2 years since we had a marathon?
2018, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Let's get Manny on the phone. Manny from Rhode Island. What's up, Manny?
What's going on, everybody? Good morning. Wiggy, I'm taking you to my family cookout this morning. I'm going to put an apple in your mouth, and I'm going to slow roast you over an open flame. You're bringing fraudulent, brother. I'm going to use your own word against you. I don't understand what's going on with you. I love you, man. I rooted for you for so many years. I thank you for the snow game. But what's up in your head, bro? Like, you're driving me crazy. I'm driving to work and listening to you. I'm like, I'm going to kill this guy. Like, I didn't listen to the radio Monday morning after the Bucks game. But what was your outlook on that game? You were talking so much crap. You were saying that the Bucks were going to come in and win 30-10. And now you're talking about, well, Dallas is going to come in here and put up all these points next week. When are you going to step back and be like, you know what? This kid's got potential. He's not wound up. That whole breathing thing that he does on the side, mm-hmm. he already said it in an interview. That's, you know, that's his style. That's what he does. He's been doing that since college. It's almost like his meditation. He outplayed Tom Brady. Yeah, they had a bad game yesterday. Who doesn't? Any given Sunday. You know what I mean? But come on, man. Like, you've got to give the kid some credit. I know you're in love with Cam Newton. You know, I miss him too. But we got to let it go.
But I gave him credit. But I gave him credit. I gave him credit. I've said he's played well, but I just don't think when you look at now, they've been fortunate that they haven't had to win a shootout yet or win one of those games where we've seen, whether it was the Chargers in Cleveland yesterday or one of those games where your Buffalo Bills are dropping up 40 points. I'm just saying when I look at this Patriots team offensively, I look at this team and go, do they have enough to be able to win on offense? And right now, they don't, because if you barely beat the Texans, shouldn't that be telling you something, Manny?
Yeah, it should. And like I said, they all have bad games. Yesterday is a tough example to use. But what I'm trying to say here is, who do you blame the game on when the ball is hitting receivers in their hands or bouncing off helmets or Harris with the fumbles? You can't put it all on one guy.
No, and I don't put it all on one guy.
As a loving Patriots fan since 1984, when my heart was broke to that crushing defeat to the Bears, at the end of the day, I have faith in the coaching staff, I have faith in the players, in doing whatever they have to do, whether it's eking out a win or having a shootout. I'm just saying I believe Mac has the potential to be a shootout guy if the coaching staff gives him that opportunity. They got to loosen the reins and just let the kid throw.
All right, Manny, thank you. And that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're thinking he's wound up.
More in your mind on Mac, though. You want Mac to take charge, and you're questioning whether or not he's being held back or whether he's holding himself back.
See, and I think he's holding himself back. I don't think Josh is holding him back. I just think he's holding himself back because he wants to be perfect, and he puts so much pressure on himself. And when you're that type of person and you think like that and you don't want to make any mistakes, sometimes you get to the point where, you know what, I'm going to do the safe things because I'm afraid to do something that might potentially go bad. And that's all I'm saying when you look at Mac Jones and how he plays. Through the first 5 weeks of the season, he's looked good. But he's just kind of been okay. When somebody dies, right? You know the hot monitor, and it's like beep.
He's flatlining. Yep.
Yeah,
he's flatlining.
Yeah, right. So he's just
That good if he's dying?
I'm not saying he's dying.
You
I'm just saying
use that as an analogy to describe his
yeah,
play.
Yeah, well, a flatline. That's what his play is. No, not he's dead. It's just beep.
Don't you think you've seen more out of him though after week five than the first game of the season?
So what do you mean after week five?
Like, don't you think in 5 weeks you've seen more out of Mac Jones than after the first game? I know after the first two, I want to say you were like, I want to see him take shots down the field.
He's still the same. What has he done differently through the first 5 weeks of the season, in your opinion, based on how he plays?
Yesterday was probably the first game that I saw him escape trouble.
Okay.
Get out of the pocket, move around a little bit. I liked what I saw there.
Okay.
I think that he's tried to take shots down the field. It hasn't always played in his favor.
Okay.
Not always his fault, sometimes other players' faults. But that's what you wanted to see, right? You wanted to see him take some chances?
So you're saying you see him going upwards.
Yes.
See, I don't see that. I kind of see him
as... You see him flatlining.
Where he's been. Like I said, he's not a bad quarterback, but he's just, when you look at what he is, he's somebody that's going to have a good completion percentage because he's going to be smart with the football and not make bad decisions. So he's going to take a lot of checkdowns, and he's going to take a lot of easy throws. But that's just who he is as a quarterback. I don't mean he's dead, Curtis. I just think his players just...
Well, you're saying it's kind of like Curtis's life where he peaked early. Is what you're,
well, I don't think Curtis ever peaked.
That's peaked. That's awesome.
Wiggy, he had four starting offensive linemen out. He led them on a game-winning field goal drive, 15 plays, 84
Davis
yards.
Davis Mills was also playing with both of his left tackles out of the game. And I think he was down to his third string.
They have two left tackles in Houston?
No, both of their tackles out of the game. You know what I'm saying, Ken. I mean, they got about two left tackles. You know what the hell I'm saying? Both of his left and his right tackle, I think they were down over their third string on their right and the backup on their left. And we're talking about Davis Mills. This guy was, like you said,
what are
you playing?
He stunk in the second half. They shut him down. Mac thrived late.
In four games in his whole...
No, he saw time in 14 college games. That's it.
Right. So
in 4 years.
Four of the five games this year, Mac has been good to great for a rookie. But with this offensive
so
line...
So did you say, if I told you, Ken, because I want to pull your fraudulent card, if I told you that the Patriots were going to need a rough in the passer call to win this football game...
They were tied. They weren't going to lose the game.
Oh, I'm talking about before the game even started. No one had...
That's the defense's fault. The defense underachieved in the first half.
Tell me it was about the spread. The spread was, Curtis, what was it, 8 or 9?
The Patriots were favored by 8 points, and nobody flatlined, according to the team doctor.
Right, so they were favored by 8 points, and you're like, oh, this game's going to be a blowout. Now, all of a sudden, you're like,
if you'd said 25
know.
Points, fine. On the road, with four backup offensive linemen, the offense did its job.
You needed a rough in the passer call to win. Come on.
You were tied at 22.
The bigger issue is that Damian Harris can't hold on to the football.
Right. And your running back fumbled again?
I'm not saying Mac Jones. That's not Josh McDaniels.
No.
He can't hold on to the football.
I'm not saying him, but I'm saying offensively, as a group, collectively, and Bill even talked about this when we had him on, that offensively, when you look at this team, they got a lot of issues.
All right, coming up after 8, we'll talk to Boomer Esiason on a Patriots Monday. Are we going to get to a rare content replay on Bill Belichick? Ken Laird, you're the boss.
Yes, so. Edited down for content, but nice and trim and ready to go.
That will happen at 8:30 on this morning show, and we are bringing you the show from the Capitol Grill on Boylston Street, just a couple blocks away from the finish line for the 125th running of the Boston Marathon. We'll be back with Courtney in the news next.
It's time for...
Everybody has got drunk at some point in their life and made a silly choice.
The news.
Everything's just out the window, like rationality, common sense, decency.
With your host...
Juicy AF.
Courtney Cox.
Restless
anal syndrome.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
You can put pasta in front of any children and they will love it.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
They are now offering sound wave therapy and other ED treatments with success rates as high as 90% at Northeast Men's Health. You can learn more at northeastmenshealth.com. I'm sorry, but Wiggy's eyes are getting giant because they just brought out some sliders, some tenderloin sliders.
They look good.
Are you guys watching the show on Twitch, Curtis?
Show's over now.
These, you know, Wiggy is obsessed with the sliders.
Do look good.
Wiggy, we're doing the news. I mean, are you going to eat the? Are you going to grab a slider in the? Okay, but you have to show it. You got to at least bring. Why don't you bring the whole plate over?
Well, you can't eat the bun. You're keto.
It's a perfect proportion, too. That's a perfect proportion.
So Wiggy is about to sample this tenderloin slider, and we'll get that on the Twitch feed for you because, you know, he's a big slider guy. All right. Where do you want to, Wiggy, do you want to, oh, God, this is, food, you know what, Curtis, I think we need to ban food in any kind of a live broadcast.
Well, this is pretty good, though. Capital Grill is one of my favorite places. And I am a slider guy.
My wife makes it.
You didn't know that? I am a slider guy. But right. I'm gonna dive into this one.
All right,
here.
Go ahead.
Right, Courtney, continue.
No. We want to get your rating.
Go ahead.
Oh, what do you want? Slider.
Do you want it? That's a one biter, by the way. Do you want a grade, or do you want a?
One to ten.
All right.
It's now endangered.
When you're dancing, that's when you know the food's good. Right?
One to ten, what do you give that? The tenderloin slider.
I give this baby a 20 right here.
Oh.
I just need some V1.
He wants to eat 20
down.
Of them.
I see you, Ty. Give me some of that V1. Vanilla.
Mrs. Wiggins been replaced.
All right, let's get to the news.
All right, well, police had a busy morning on Friday in Ayr as they tried to corral a wayward moose attempt to keep it from wandering into the roadways.
Is this a moose that was in the wild or escaped from captivity?
Nope, it seems like it was in the wild. Okay. Here's Detective Kelly Barhite.
We thought we would push her further into the woods. Never in a million years did we think she would turn around and run on us. I can honestly say I've been here for almost 17 years. I've never seen a moose or had a moose call. This is the first time.
Yeah, so police saying that they tried their best not to get run over. That's scary, though. A moose can take you out.
Yeah, I would. Yes.
Well, like that lady said, she's got some moose soup, so.
Yeah. Come down here after. I got moose soup and everything.
Moose soup. It's moose soup and everything, Wiggy. Yeah. It's moose soup and everything.
Oh, man, I want to hang out with her. I want to try some of her moose
What do you
soup.
Think the accoutrements are
you
to
want
moose
some,
soup?
Would you like some? They could probably make you a good moose bisque here at the Capitol Grill if you'd like.
You know what they have that's really good at the Capitol Grill here? I'm going to say this because I've had it many a times, the French onion soup.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very good. I know what you mean.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Continue.
Residents in multiple communities in Central Mass and Southern New Hampshire reported hearing a loud boom or felt shaking on Sunday morning. Not a good way to start your day. Others say it felt like their house and windows were shaking, but it sounded like an explosion went off of some sorts. Here's Eileen Chevier of Lunenburg.
A little after 11:30, we heard a really loud boom and a really subtle shake, to the point where I thought either my husband had dropped something out in the garage or he had thought that I had dropped something in the house.
No idea what it was.
They still don't know what it was.
That's
There's going to be a really loud boom and a subtle shake at the Capitol Grill men's room in about an hour.
No, Curtis, I already told you, I have control of my bottles.
I hope you're watching. If you're watching the show on Twitch, he is demolishing the prosciutto mozzarella. Yeah. I'm fascinated by how quickly he's eating it, Curtis.
God, my Yaz favorite. Is embarrassed. You're wearing a jersey.
At 7:48 a.m., too.
Wow, what's wrong with that? Hey, don't be jealous because you ain't here.
Yeah. He's going to have to upgrade that jersey to what do you got? Number 8. You're going to go to number 18, Bernie Carbo, after that.
I get the Panda jersey. They might be selling those.
He's Bernie Carbo loading here at the Capitol.
It's not very thoughtful for you to be plowing food into your face on Indigenous Peoples Day.
Hey, wow. Great segue for me, Curtis.
They have to eat.
Because on the next story, a crowd rallied together and marched to the State House in Boston to support Indigenous Peoples Day on Saturday. The group, it's demanding Indigenous Peoples Day to be recognized by local, state, and federal governments.
Huh, okay.
Yep. Here's one of the speakers at the rally.
We demand more. We demand the celebration of our history. We're tired of a Eurocentric education.
Oh, wow. That worked up.
Yeah, the Christopher Columbus Committee in the North End was probably not happy about that rally.
Not.
Lou's going to have a rant. Break.
Not the Onion. The city of Columbus, Ohio, officially now celebrates Indigenous Peoples Day.
But
if that's
still
not the most backwards thing you've ever heard in your life. Wouldn't you start with your city's name?
Right. Change the name of your city, and then you could get to the holiday after that. Yes.
Southwest Airlines canceled hundreds of flights over the weekend, blaming the woes on air traffic control issues and weather. The airline canceled more than 1,000 flights.
That sucks.
Aviation expert Mike McCarron has more.
So there's starting to be more people feeling comfortable traveling, and so more seats are being sold. In fact, they're probably not going to have to surf back to look convinced that this level of demand from the passengers will be sustained.
Well, the concern was that they more than likely ran out of pilots because there are a considerable amount of pilots who won't get vaccinated, I guess.
Right.
And so they were trying to say it was weather-related or air traffic control-related, but it may have been that they don't have enough pilots.
Yeah, aviation right now.
Out west.
Yeah.
Oh, a good blue-collar Friday for Curtis, maybe flying a plane for someone.
Oh, I was thinking more of like a flight attendant.
Oh, God, no.
Peanuts!
Curtis. Can you imagine how miserable Curtis would be as a flight attendant?
Right. I don't know if you remember obscure reference, but David Spade and Tommy Boy just totally berating the people on the plane.
Yeah, he drives Curtis a show into the ground, let alone a plane.
LOL.
He'd be one of those flight attendants that tape the kids to the seat that are crying. Yeah.
There would be no
nips
left before
they say anything.
Yep.
Use the two exits in the front or the back.
One of my irrational fears is bees. I don't like bees. Bees scare me. Anytime there's a bee around, I can't get over it. And a massive honeybee hive consisting of thousands of bees was finally removed from a vacant property in Atlanta, the ATL, after weeks of terrorizing nearby neighbors. Mm. But there's a catch here, because in Georgia, as in most states, it is suggested that you do not kill honeybees, as they are both endangered and a vital part of the ecosystem.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So you're not supposed to kill them. You're supposed to gently remove them, because even if you're having a honeybee encounter, I guess you could call it, they're still good for the environment. Here is one of the neighbors, Matthew Cease.
Everybody was telling me, you can't hurt the bees. You can't hurt them. Bless your heart. Please. Bless your heart. Who's going to bless me when they sting me?
Oh, I like that.
That is so good.
A lot of people are allergic to bees, though.
Yes.
Help yourself to another one of those prosciutto mozz.
You know, it'd be good if put like some it. Honey on a slider.
Oh.
Bees are good for that.
It is time to induct another person into the Pervert Teachers Association.
Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
A Doral teacher, of course we're going to Florida for this again, has been arrested on charges that she engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a 15-year-old student.
How old is she?
So Doral police arrested Hevery Calvi on Friday, 41 years old.
Okay.
She faces multiple charges, including lewd and sexual battery. So here is Ray Valdez, Doral PD.
There were photographs that were certainly inappropriate and that indicate that there was, in fact, an inappropriate relationship.
Why is it always the women? You notice, like, with these stories, it seems like it's always women in the students.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I guess it is more so than guys.
I couldn't even tell you the last story that you talked about that where it actually was a guy. It seems like it's always the woman.
It is. That's very true. I mean, the kid, the student, was showing videos at school of he and the teacher having sex.
The prosciutto mozzarella just charged Wiggy with lewd and lascivious behavior.
I just assaulted it.
slider is what I did. I'm trying to assault the slider, but we're still in the news. I can't really get quick enough.
I think I'm the only person on this show who is a Kim Kardashian fan. And I know that that is a controversial topic, but she did an unbelievable job over the weekend. She hosted Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you guys saw any of it.
I didn't. I heard it was good, though.
It was really good, and she really went there. She made fun of herself. Oh, she made fun of her family. She went all out. She talked about OJ. It is, if you have a chance, go watch the replay of it. Here's some audio from her opening, what do they call
monologue.
It? Monologue.
When they asked, I was like, you want me to host? Why? I haven't had a movie premiere in a really long time. I mean, actually, I only had that one movie come out, and no one told me it was even premiering. It must have slipped my mom's mind. I'm excited to be here tonight to show you guys that I'm so much more than just a pretty face. And good hair. And great makeup, and amazing boobs, and a perfect butt. Basically, I'm just so much more than that reference photo my sister showed their plastic surgeons. But the one thing I'm really proud of is that no one could ever call me a gold digger. Honestly, I'm not even sure how you become one. So I asked my mom's boyfriend, Corey.
And she goes on and on, and all the skits were funny. It was really, really good. Even if you're not a fan of her, you got to give her props, because that's a hard job to have.
That part was pretty funny.
But why does she? I mean, why is she doing it? She has more money than the U.S. Treasury.
She must have something coming out. It's got to be something she got coming out, like a line.
But why does she care? Like, why? I mean,
because she has.
Why are you
stay
there this morning, Greg? You have plenty of money.
I have to pay for college.
She has to stay in the public eye, though. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you know how it is. That's her way of kind of, like you said, keeping up and having more money.
And it seemed like she's a fan of the show, so I think that's more of like an honor thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, hosting Saturday Night Live is a really big deal.
Yeah.
So for her, that's cool. Some fun with 911 calls this morning. Right. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Canadian police, they've released the 911 call between a dispatcher and a man who was stuck in traffic, and he really had to go to the bathroom. The worst feeling in the entire world. Here is the emergency call.
911, chief police, hello? Fire, or ambulance.
I need police.
Okay. Do you have the police? Yeah. Where is the emergency?
Actually, the thing is that I have to pee, and these guys are not moving.
You have to pee?
Yeah.
This is your emergency that you have to pee?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How are the police going to help you urinate?
I have to pee, man. And
but I'm not sure what you like me to do that you have to urinate. I can't help you with that.
That is a terrible feeling, though, when you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, okay, pull over and you go to the bathroom.
Well, right? And for a guy, can't you just use like a water bottle or something?
They actually have this contraption. That if you look on social media, it's like, you know, you pull it out. What's those things like? A slinky?
Okay.
You pull it out.
Pee-pee.
And you can
it's
use that.
It's called a Wizinator.
You can use that in the car.
Like, I peed my pants.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So they have those on Instagram you could buy.
Because I don't know how it is for guys, but for females, it's a very terrible feeling when you have to.
Okay, but don't waste the time of 911 calling about it.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he should have done that. I just feel for the guy a little bit.
I thought he had to drop a deuce or something. I mean, go peek. You're right. Can't just get out of the car and go buy a tree somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It certainly is an awful feeling.
Yes.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you're wasting the time.
Like we all agree. You should have called 911.
Wasting the time of 911 on that is ridiculous.
Yes.
What else they got going on in Canada?
Dr. Anthony Fauci said on Sunday that children should be able to safely trick or treat this year.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
All right.
Facts.
Yeah.
Oh,
Halloween
excellent.
Is back. Here is Fauci.
I think that particularly if you're vaccinated, but you can get out there. You're outdoors for the most part, at least when my children were out there doing trick-or-treating, and enjoy it. I mean, this is a time that children love. It's a very important part of the year for children. I know my children enjoyed it. So, I mean, again, particularly if you're vaccinated, if you're not vaccinated, again, think about it, that you'll add an extra degree of protection to yourself and your children and your family and your community. So it's a good time to reflect on why it's important to get vaccinated. But go out there and enjoy Halloween as well as the other holidays that will be coming up.
after the Christmas mishap, Fauci's like, I got to get this holiday right. Got to get it right.
But why does he have to be asked about every single milestone that is coming up every month in this country?
I mean, don't we already know, like, all right, if you're going to go out there and you're not vaccinated.
Well, also, Halloween is the safest. That everybody has a mask right, on. Right. Everybody's wearing a costume.
Yeah. Is it an N95 mask?
I don't know.
And you're out. You should always pick up the bill.
Always. Yes.
Always. We are on the same side on that one, Wiggy. Well, a woman on TikTok shared her epic worst first date experience. It included the guy ordering 100 hard shell, important note, tacos, and having her pay for it. Here's what she said.
We end up at a Taco Bell. I'm like, dine in or drive through? And he's like, drive through. And I'm like, great, he has a plan. We get to the speaker and he just leans over and goes, I would like 100 hard shell tacos. Thank you. He does one of these numbers. And I'm like, did you forget your wallet? And he's like, yeah. I was like, do you need me to pay? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. I buy the 100 tacos and I'm like, where to next? And he goes, back to my house. And I was like, okay, this is happening.
In a follow-up video.
Reason number 9 why TikTok needs to be canceled, by the way, right. Curtis. He took her on a date to a drive-thru?
Yeah.
Taco Bell.
That's when it would have been over for me.
Yeah. Wasn't she driving?
No, I think he did.
Yeah, because he pulled up and did the order.
Yeah. Oh. But if you were wondering how much that would cost, $150 she had to spend on a Taco Bell 100 taco hard shell.
Right.
At least he knew to get hard shell. But yeah, no, not a great...
A woman should leave as soon as a guy says, I'm not picking up the bill or split the bill, or if he gets down on, or if she has to get down on one knee to propose to him, then you need to leave that loser ASAP.
Yeah. Or if you pull up to a drive-thru for your first date.
What, Curtis?
Wiggy got down on one knee and proposed to the slider, which I thought was
fantastic. That's all right. I did it the old-fashioned way, traditional way. I got down and I asked that slider.
But what you're saying that... You don't think in this day and age that, things are becoming so much more equal than they ever were?
Not when it comes to that.
That it's not okay on the first date for a woman to chip in?
No.
Nope. The man should always pick up the tab.
Yep. There's no second date.
Unless you have nudicles.
How long does that go for? I mean, for the entire, like, let's say
the entire relationship.
They're dating for 6 months.
He picks up the bill for 6 months.
Always?
Yeah.
Always.
If he's saying, let's go on a date, you're paying. No.
Yeah. Always.
All right. Is that it?
That is it in the news.
All right, Courtney, thank you. We are at the Capitol Grill on Boylston Street. Weather looking much better than it was earlier. It looks like the rain has stopped. And shortly, about a half an hour from now, the Elite Runners will begin from Hopkinton heading into the city. We are going to get to Boomer Esiason in just a couple of minutes on a Patriots Monday and a rare content replay on Bill Belichick, who joined us during the 6 o'clock hour at 8:30 this morning. And heads up for tomorrow, it is a Tie Tuesday, so Tie Law on this show tomorrow morning at 8:30.
It's just Boston. Everyone loves the Red Sox.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.